Welcome to our new PR Week podcast episode with Arvind Hickman.
Hello, I'm Arvind Hickman and welcome to the PR Show. Revenue for the top 150 PR consultancies grew by more than 7% in 2019, but few expect any growth this year. The coronavirus pandemic has had a devastating impact on the economy, and the communications industry is not immune. New research by Moore Kingston Smith reveals that 90% of PR agency leaders expect revenue to decline this year. But PR leaders are less pessimistic than peers in Adland and other Marcoms disciplines. Today, I'm joined by Grayling Europe, UK and Ireland CEO, Sarah Schofield.
Hello.
Cicero AMO Executive Chair, Ian Anderson.
Hello.
And Freud CEO, Arlo Brady.
Hi, great to be with you.
We will look at how the pandemic is impacting trading conditions and operations, how agencies are responding to the challenge, and whether this crisis could forever change the comms industry as we know it. Arlo, I want to start with you at Freud's. You've had an exceptional growth in 2019, but as you noted recently, it will just be seen as a footnote. Very early on in this crisis, Matthew Freud made it clear that no employee would lose their job as a result of this crisis. That was about 6 weeks ago when it wasn't really clear how long this would last for. Has anything changed?
Lots of things have changed, I think, but nothing has changed in terms of our commitment to staff. As you say, I mean, coronavirus is causing chaos all around the world. The jury's still out in terms of how long the impact will last for and how significant it will be. But you know, from our point of view, our priority at this time has been to focus on our staff and supporting them through this difficult time. We will have it be much clearer in a few months' time what the full economic impact will be. But in our case, we had a pretty good Q1. Which has provided us with a degree of cushion. We're still trying to understand what the full implications economically will be on the business. But our mantra, if you've got stay home, save lives, protect the NHS, our mantra has been protecting jobs and salaries, but also reducing costs and looking at driving new business. So. We haven't seen a massive impact to client work just yet, I wouldn't say, but I imagine that there will be plenty of impact over the next few months. There'll be plenty of winners and losers, and you can already begin to see who some of those are, and you can speculate who others will be as we move along. But for the time being, our priority is our workforce.
Have you had to furlough many staff? How are you sort of managing the HR side of it?
No, we haven't furloughed anybody. I think that's been part of our focus from the very beginning. HR has been a focus of ours. We've led really with lots of communications. It's obvious from a communications agency, but as you will probably know, PR agencies aren't always the best at their own internal comms. So our early priority has been lots and lots of comms and as much transparency as possible to try and drive some confidence into our staff. And I think in our case, we do an annual survey, like a staff satisfaction survey, and internal comms, it's for the last 5 years at least, been really good. But internal comms always pops up as a weakness. So we've really tried to crack that this time around. And we've done that by taking quite an individual approach. One of the things that I think we've noticed is that everybody is facing challenges in their own unique way. Just before you came on, I was talking to the other guys about their own personal situation. People have younger kids, older kids, partners that work, partners that have just come out of work. There's all sorts of unique scenarios that people are in. And we have spent a lot of our HR team spent a lot of time talking to everybody individually to try and understand their situation and give them a degree of confidence that we are looking after them. And I think that at this stage, as I say, the economic impact's not clear, but I don't think you should rely on state aid if you don't have to. At this point in time, we don't have to.
So I want to turn to Grayling. In this recent research, it said about 80% of agencies will furlough staff, but PR agencies are more reluctant to make redundancies than some of the other MarComms disciplines. Why do you think this is, and what's been the sort of HR strategy for Grayling?
I think, you know, we are fortunate in PR agencies in that we have much more flexible operating models than perhaps other MarComms agencies. And I also think if you look at events businesses, for example, I mean, I can only imagine the sort of pain that they will be going through right now, which probably gives them very, very few choices about what they can do to save any part of their business. So I do think the flexibility that we have allows us to try and support our clients as best we can through this. And I think that's a really important point. I think, you know, we all have sort of, particularly on the agency side, we have in comms agencies built into our DNA that we're meant to sell and, you know, drive new business. And actually, I think that would be slightly grotesque at this, to be honest. I think what we're all doing and trying to do is show for the first time really authentically about what partnership looks like for our clients. Because we all talk about, you know, we want to be your partners, but actually that is about understanding the challenges that they're going through as well. And so I do think we're fortunate in the PR comms world, because I think we can flex and adapt. You know, in terms of HR for us, it's not a dissimilar picture to what Arlo was saying about Freud's. We've been fortunate. We've had a robust Q1, which has seen us through, which I'm delighted about. Our revenue has been holding pretty steady. We have made a small percentage of our staff. We've put them on furlough leave, but we've also redeployed other parts of our staff onto areas of the business that required additional capacity. So it is very much about that sort of fluidity in the workforce and making sure that obviously we're looking after each other, but we're also making sure that we're supporting our clients, obviously, to the best of our ability. Equally, without wishing to repeat what Arlo just said, you know, the well-being of our staff is absolutely at the core of every decision that we take. You know, I think we talk a lot about business resilience. And I think at Grayling, we've been fortunate that we have created resilience in our business in the last few years. But, you know, we need the staff to feel supported, both, you know, both professionally, but also emotionally. And I think we talk a lot to our staff about it's okay not to be okay during this. You know, that people do need to take breaks. I think being on Teams or Zoom calls from morning, noon and night is exhausting for people. I think people, ironically, are probably working longer hours than they ever were, because I think they're chained to their desks and there's very little else to do. So we're very conscious of that. And we've done lots of, you know, more fun things as well. We've done, you know, we've got now a Grayling personal trainer who's doing online training 3 days a week. We've had a nutritionist come online and talk to our teams. We've had a sleep specialist. You know, I'm going to individual team meetings every day, as is the chairman and the managing director. You know, we've done a daily newsletter, which is partly about reporting on the business, to keep everybody focused and obviously connected, but also focusing on some more fun stuff as well. So I think, you know, it is always a challenge to a business when you find yourself in moments of crisis. But actually, it's a great test of the culture that you've created. And I think at the moment, we're in a fortunate position, which is good.
A lot of agencies have been saying how this crisis and social distancing has actually brought teams closer together. Is that something that you've noticed as well?
I mean, we've got 9 offices in the UK, so we've always had to work very hard to stay connected and communicate a lot, because otherwise you end up with a business which is made up of lots of little pieces, which we're very keen to avoid. Having said that, I do think what it's done is breaking down some of the formality around that. You know, if you have a fixed sort of all agency, as we do, sort of monthly meeting, you are seeing people, but perhaps you're not just sort of seeing them with their dogs behind them or sitting in their kitchens. And, you know, I believe very strongly in flat structures and everybody having a voice in an agency and sort of trying to get rid of quite a lot of hierarchy. And so I do think that because we're all working in very similar circumstances, it means that you've sort of completely flattened your structure to a certain degree. We're all here to help one another, and whatever it takes, we'll do it. So I think we've been fortunate because we are quite well connected, but I think this has actually just improved things even further. And actually, it's taught lessons to me particularly about how we should be doing things more regularly and also involving more people from across the business, as opposed to, you know, me or other people from the executive board broadcasting. It's very critical that we hear from everybody at every different level across the agency quite frequently, because that's what people care about and it's what they want to hear.
Okay. Ian, how has this pandemic impacted Cicero AMO? I mean, you guys had a merger recently. What has been sort of, how have you managed this?
So, I mean, it's been quite an extraordinarily, I'm wary of and of using the term unprecedented, but, you know, we took ourselves into Havas. They've taken a majority stake in our business right at the end of February. I was, you know, beyond delighted that happened. And, you know, literally a few days after that, we saw the pandemic, you know, have a pretty dramatic impact across the economy. I mean, what I'm obviously now getting sight of now as part of Havas, in a way that as an independent we didn't have before, is just how parts of the world are in and out of lockdown. So, you know, clearly already, you know, Asia coming out of lockdown, that is clearly having an impact in terms of activity. America looking to move faster than Europe. So in a way, we've been able to sort of tap into that effect. But the most important thing for us, of course, is, you know, now having the financial strength of Havas and Vivendi behind us. You know, as an independent before, we just didn't have that. So that's been incredibly important. And, you know, we'd literally just plugged in to the Havas village in King's Cross when we had to, you know, start working from our kitchen table. And you know, that's been a challenge. But actually, you know, frankly, within a couple of weeks, reflective of what, you know, we've heard so far, you know, our team has been really, really amazing. They've risen to the challenge, you know, very conscious. There are an awful lot of, you know, young people working in comms. You know, many of them are having to set up and work from their kitchen table, often share that kitchen table with, you know, others in a flat share kind of arrangement. The resilience of people has been, you know, quite fantastic. We're doing bake-offs. There's lots and lots of team communications. I would say, you know, one of the big reflections that I've got so far is just as we would advise clients to kind of, in a way, over-communicate right now, we're trying to do exactly the same thing with teams. But there's one thing that's absolutely certain, is that nobody will snigger anymore at the idea of working from home.
Which is very positive. And I guess the way that this industry and a lot of other industries have been heading, I'm interested to have a look at which sort of areas of PR and comms have had big declines and which areas are actually doing okay. One of the advantages of this industry is that it's quite diverse. And when it comes to crises, sometimes that actually can generate demand. Which areas have done well or you've noticed more client demand, and which areas have suffered as a result of this, Arlo?
Yes, I think you can look at that from two different directions. I think you can look at it from a client perspective or a product perspective. I think there are, you know, if you look across the spectrum of different types of clients that you might work with, some of them will be doing well in this environment and some of them will be facing significant challenges. So some organizations are orientated around industries. So you'll see some obvious industries that are doing well and some obvious industries that are not doing so well. So, you know, for example, you've got anything from, you know, anything like Netflix. The obvious ones are in-home entertainment, Netflix type things, store cupboard foods, retailers, some of the big tech players, anything to do with education, all of that is extremely busy. And then on the other side of the equation, you've got the obvious stuff like transportation and tourism. And I know there's quite a few PR agencies that are very specifically focused on that industry, sports, restaurants, and so on and so forth. So I think we're seeing all of the obvious things there that you would expect us to see. Then from a product point of view, we have, as you know, we have quite a big health and behavior change team, and they are crazily busy. We've got perhaps not quite so big an internal comms special. Internal comms has always been the poor relation to external comms, and I think that that will probably be no more. A lot of our clients have seen the critical importance, as we were to our conversation earlier. Internal comms has been really important to an agency, but it's particularly if you've got 100,000 employees in 100 countries all around the world, it's a critical issue for you. So we've been leaning into that quite significantly. Crisis comms is a massive area for us, and unfortunately we have seen quite a lot of crises recently, and I would imagine you'll see plenty more of those. We have lots of retained clients, and see, I think because there's so much uncertainty, you see a lot of requirement for strategic counsel from senior experts. So that side of our business is extremely active. And then one of the big transformation areas here, and it'd be interesting to talk to some of the other guys about this, is how technology, how this incredible use of technology is going to impact the way that we communicate. And obviously social media, we have a team of people that focus on social media, and they're run off their feet. But I think there'll be many more implications as we move forward. So that's a top line area of focus.
Sarah, what have you noticed?
I don't think any services are badly affected. I do agree with Arlo. I think that certainly sort of, immediate consultancy and advice, and particularly insights, are really critical for clients at the moment. But I don't think that's necessarily service specific. I don't think we're getting a request for more sort of political insight than we are around consumer behavior insight. I think it's across the board. So I certainly think, that point around being able to give very quick advice and insight and consultancy around how people should be behaving, how other brands or businesses are behaving, how businesses can respond, I think we've certainly seen quite a lot of increase and uptick in that. I think there's been a huge uptick in creative planning. And I mean, very quick sort of turnaround, sensitive and compassionate sort of creative campaigns. And that doesn't always sit necessarily with brand marketing, which I think traditionally people think it does. It's also, how a lot of corporate brands have responded to this. And I think we talk a lot and have done, recently about purpose, but I think a lot of businesses will be judged on how they are behaving right now, not just externally, but also so internally as well. I agree fully around the point around social media. I think it's always been important, but obviously, particularly if businesses and brands want to be heard at the moment, there is very little earned media space in things like the print publications, because for very obvious and all the right reasons, it's very COVID news focused. So I think social channels have played an important part in that. And again, I agree with Arlo. I think internal communications is absolutely essential at this point. And certainly we've seen a lot of requests from clients to help them navigate that, because I think a lot of businesses feel they're quite good at it. But again, it's that broadcasting rather than listening to their people and being able to communicate in the right tone of voice at the right time. Certainly, there are obviously sectors that have been badly affected. I mean, obviously, travel and tourism, aviation. But I also think charities have been really badly affected at a time when they are probably needed most, which is difficult. And small businesses is interesting as well, because I think initially this could have been the death knell for a lot of small businesses. But they seem to have risen to the challenge and done an amazing job, I think, on social media, particularly Instagram, about sort of marketing themselves. And I think there is a real sort of sense of people wanting to really sort of rally behind their local communities and sort of invest in their local communities and their local community businesses. And I think, maybe that's going to be a sort of positive change coming from this.
I would say, having a strong retainer base has proved to be really, really important right now. I mean, we went into our deal with Havas with 75% plus retained, that's still maintaining itself through this process. So I think the retainer as a form of financial strength through this period, I think, is going to be really, really important for agencies for some time to come. There's been obviously a big debate for a long time as to the dynamics of retained versus project business. And it's the project business that I think took the initial hit when we went into this. We're starting to see that come back a little bit now as the conversation is moving towards return to office, if you like, as opposed to return to work, because everyone, of course, is working very, very hard at the minute. So I think the retainer is one dynamic that's quite important that I can see. In terms of tools and techniques, the rise of the influencer and the use of the influencer, I think through this period, absolutely fascinating to observe. The celebrity endorser broadly has been falling flat on their face right now, whereas actually community-driven local influencers, stuff that people can see with health workers in key localities, is probably resonating more effectively than the sort of top-down, big celebrity star that you're using to endorse with your campaign. That just isn't working at all. Purpose, completely agree with Sarah's point. Absolutely. I think the question that's coming again and again and again for clients is kind of, what did you do in the COVID war? Were you good to your employees? Were you good to your customers? Did you lean into the public health effort, or did you lean away from it? And then the final thing for me is that, of course, going on around us is actually probably, a fundamental shift. We've talked about digital and yet digital first important, but there really is a question now about print media and whether or not it's got any long-term future through this period, and frankly, how distribution strategies then operate for comms, whether or not it's the public affairs activity or the media activity, are really going to have to flex, and frankly, they already are. I'm seeing that in real time.
Okay, I want to pick up on the purpose point. It's been a theme for a while. Do you think this crisis will accelerate the move towards purpose-driven marketing? And what else are you noticing from clients? Do you think what they're going to demand from agencies will change as a result of this?
So there's a huge question there about is this a moment in time? Do we go back to normal? But my view on that, I think is pretty clear. I don't think this is a moment in time. I think there's some pretty fundamental drivers that are at work here, not least the social effect. The social and economic effects that are following pretty quickly from the health effect. So, the kind of space that brands and businesses have are entirely, for the foreseeable future, going to be around how much people lent in versus how much they lent away. And on top of that, the money, the investors that are prepared to support brands, they're going to be thinking even more about environmental, social, and governance, that wider agenda, and I'm seeing that already.
Allo and Sarah, do you have anything to add to that in terms of purpose and what clients are looking for moving forward?
Sure. I mean, I think that a lot of the things that will emerge from this as being major priorities for clients have been on the cards for a long time. So, if I think to some of the big companies that we work with, a lot of them have known for some time that a major digital disruption is on the cards and that it will fundamentally alter the way that they do things. A lot of them have known that climate change is a growing issue, and that mental health is becoming, all these topics have been bubbling away. And I think a lot of our larger clients have looked at those issues and wondered how they can engage with them, because they feel as though they're a bit like a super tanker. And sometimes I think, particularly in the consumer space, they look around at other newer, smaller businesses that are engaging in these topics and wish that they could be like that, but they're not agile enough to be able to interact with those topics. And if you think of the large corporation as a super tanker, it takes a long time for a super tanker to make a turn. And what's happened, the only way you can make a turn in a super tanker is to stop the super tanker, right? You have to stop it. And then when it's stopped, you can make a turn. And what's happening right now is that the entire world has stopped. So you don't want to stop your super tanker because everyone else is still going. But in this case, our clients have got no alternative really other than to stop in their tracks and consider how they then re-engage with the outside world. And I think a lot of them will use the opportunity to throw things up in the air and completely step change direction, take some lessons from some of the smaller dynamic players, and they'll want to start back better. They'll want to, and never mind PR. I think the whole marketing space will be a fascinating one from that perspective, because what would you do if you had a blank sheet of paper and you didn't have to apply all of the conventional rules and cultural dogmas that existed pre-COVID? And that is going to be fascinating. And it's possible that PR could be a significant PR in an evolved form could be a significant beneficiary of that debate inside these big companies.
I agree. And I was just going to add, I think purpose has been around for a while. I don't think it's a new concept, but I think it's it's the more humane part of purpose that we'll see, which is a slight evolution of pure purpose, which is, compassion from business, transparency from business. And I also agree with what Arlo said. I think the people who will learn the lessons through this and take those learnings and become braver and bolder, think slightly differently, be adaptable, will be the winners. And I think, they will have to do that with both empathy and compassion, because I think this has kind of reset everybody emotionally slightly. I think, it's like a terrible bereavement in a way, which makes you reevaluate the things that really matter. And I think if businesses don't reevaluate what really matters to their stakeholders, then they would look completely out of step and tone deaf, actually.
How do you think this crisis will change your agency, Sarah, and the industry?
There's been a lot of discussion about workplace, and I think it will. I mean, look, we've always talked about flexible working, and I think this has proved very quickly that we can work remotely and be very efficient at it. So I don't think that's going to be a surprise that I say that. Part of that I hope it removes is an age-old problem I think that we face in agencies, which is presenteeism. I think there's always been this element that as a business, we never really work 9 to 5. In a funny sort of way, that will stand us in good stead, I think, in the future, because I think we will be much more adaptable to working around sort of changing rush hours or changing around people's need to take their children to school or whatever it may be. And I think that will serve us well. But there's also been this sort of culture of people sort of at 6 o'clock, if you leave, people going, well, I've got the old eye, sort of, why are you leaving at 6 o'clock? And I think it's nonsense. I think, people work in different ways. People work very, very hard in PR. And I think we've got to embrace that. And we've got to treat people like adults. And we have to trust our staff to do the job that they need to do. So I think there will be changes in how we work. But I think we're probably very well set up for that, to be honest.
Ian, what changes do you see occurring as a result of this in communications?
So, we talked earlier about the fact that everyone's probably working a longer day and is rather zoomed out. I think that is the case. I think the thing that it is providing, there's no doubt about this, and I'm seeing this across teams, is because the commute doesn't exist, or you're not rushing from meeting to meeting to meeting in terms of traveling to get to meetings. You may be zapping on the Zoom switch. But I am seeing much, much more thoughtful and analytical activities, certainly from our people. And You know, I think that means people have more time literally to think. Certainly now we've moved into this period of understanding how to make working from home, everybody working from home, work. So, you know, I think that you know, PR and comms and public affairs can, you know, often be accused of being very reactive, of literally just leaping on a headline. And I'm seeing sort of quite significant, I think, behavioural change through this period where as people go in to advise a client, give them that counsel, they're thinking about things and they're giving a much, much more rounded, much more deep, insightful set of concepts. In a way right now, you know, we've been through a period where experts and substance were trashed. And actually for PR and the communications world, I think actually the sense of expert is being, you know, kind of redefined and perhaps found.
Okay. Alo, I'm going to leave the final word for you. How do you think this crisis will change the communications industry going forward?
I think that's a million-dollar question, and I haven't got a fully formed answer to it yet. The honest answer to that question is I don't know, but I know it's going to change an awful lot. I think you could look at it from many different angles. I think it will change the nature of the industry in of itself. So I would imagine that we will see an unprecedented period of entrepreneurship in our industry. So, you know, the dominant direction of travel over the last decade has been towards the large PR groups. A lot of people will have lost their jobs. A lot of good people. There's some serious talent out there. But that is a caveat I should make. I mean, the UK we've got an amazing centre of expertise in public relations and adjacent disciplines, and a lot of those good people will have been made redundant or furloughed or sort of, you know, pushed to the side, and they'll decide to choose this moment to go off on their own, set up their own thing. And to Ian's point there, I mean, a lot of those will be experts and they'll set up maybe discipline-specific businesses. So I think that's really exciting to see how all of that will play out. And I suspect that some of those businesses, because of the way that, you know, because of the fact we've realized now that we live in an interconnected world where a UK PR business doesn't have to be just servicing the UK. We are effectively a pretty large export business. Freud certainly is a pretty large export business. And I think that our expertise can be exported all around the world. So I suspect we'll see a bigger geographical play in terms of what UK PR businesses are focused on. You see a big change in the product portfolio. You know, if you imagine a graphic equalizer, I imagine we'll see shifts in terms of to the conversation that we had earlier in terms of the expert types of expert that we hire. The digital thing will probably be the biggest change that we see there. In a fully digital world, which I think is what we are entering now. Although there still will be elements of a digital divide that will become a very significant issue, I suspect. In a fully digital world, we'll see that communication, the way you communicate, will have to change. You cannot communicate in the same way. And we will be scrabbling around as an industry, I would imagine, in the coming months to try and figure out what all of that means. But you know, if you wanted a final word, I mean, I think actually there's an elevated importance of the discipline. So, you know, here we are, look, in this world of sort of discontinuity and disruption. And when you're looking at that kind of landscape, what's important? And communications is of critical importance in that environment. And to a corporation, reputational value is of great value. So I suspect that there will be an elevated importance of our of our discipline, and it will become more critical to the kinds of companies that we serve. So that's how I think it will. I mean, but there'll be lots more changes, but I think let's come back to it in a couple of months' time when we've all had time to absorb it.
Well, that's a positive note to end it on. Communications will definitely elevate in terms of importance. Thank you so much, Arlo, Sarah, and Ian for joining us today. Also, thank our production partners, Marketeers, for producing this podcast, and to you for joining us today. Until next time, on behalf of the PR Week team, goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the PR Show podcast with Arvin Hickman. Brought to you by PR Week. If you like what you heard, please leave us a nice review.